Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. This is your father speaking, Darren Karp, here with the godly mother, the
Hi.
queen of mean, Charlotte
Hey.
Thrasher.
Well, that's what everyone calls me, the Queen of Mean. Hi, everybody. Welcome in. Come
That is
on
your
in.
nickname
Take a
in prison.
seat.
Yes,
The
please
Queen
sit
of Mean?
down.
I don't
The
think
queen
so.
of
I'd be the Queen of like being scared, probably,
yeah.
knowing me.
Yeah. I'm the queen of being scared.
The Queen. If you need somebody like that, like I'm here for you.
I
We're so weird. Like, what is that? Anyway, guys,
know.
welcome in. Welcome
No.
in.
Yes, welcome to Shaken and Disturbed. We're so excited to have you here. Up top, John, let's
Yeah, we
make the
have some
announcement right
exciting
now.
news. Yes. So finally, after almost 5 years of this podcast, we have an official website. That's right.
Oh,
Hold on.
sorry. Oh,
There we go.
yep. In fact,
You
I'm going
need
to
to
go to
check
it
it out.
right now.
Yeah, go to it now. See how it looks. Check out our brand spanking new website,
There it is.
shakenanddisturbed.com. Darren, we have new merch
Love it.
available as well, which you can check out right there at the merch button at the top.
I love it.
Justice is my love language. You can put it on a t-shirt, put it on a coffee mug, make it a sticker. We've already, quite frankly, sold a couple of things, so that's really
It looks
exciting of that.
great. I
It's
love
fun,
it.
right?
I'm looking at the website right now and it's
Yeah.
very fun. I like the
It makes you
thumbnails.
want to just like listen to the show and love us, doesn't it?
Well,
Well, let's not get ahead of
certainly,
ourselves.
you know,
But the point of this, I
certainly
should
Snoopy.
mention,
Yeah.
is that, oh, we should do like a special like pet section for our pets.
And we just
Duh.
post pictures of our
We
like
just post
exclusive
pictures of
pictures
them.
of our pet.
I
Just
think we do that on Patreon, actually.
here's the
Yeah.
pet mural and it's just them.
Well, yeah, this website, you know, we have so many different things going. We have the show, we have YouTube, we have merch, we have Patreon, of course.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like meant to just be like a hub for all of the stuff we're doing for you guys. So now instead of pointing you in a million different directions, you can just remember shakenanddisturbed.com. If we ever do some live shows one day, they'll be on there. We can put our tickets on there and
No,
everything.
it's smart. It's an easy way
Yeah.
to keep track of everything that we do. And, we just
Exactly.
kind of want you guys to have an easier place to find everything and,
Yeah. And I
make it
also will
fun.
mention we're going to have a little blog post with our new episodes every week, with our episode and our YouTube video embedded into it. So it'll be easier to share with friends and family if you want someone to check out an episode or you remembered an episode. I think we started start those at episode 200, so a couple weeks ago, and we'll be doing them every episode thereafter. So you can share that if you want people to check it out.
I want to have like a Darren's rants. If you listen to
No.
NMR, then you know
No.
what I'm talking about. If you don't,
That is what
then you
NMR is
could
meant for.
picture. I understand, but I have a lot more complaints that we can fit into
Oh
that
my
NMR
God,
because we have to hear whatever's
imagine.
going on with you. And so it's like, I
Oh
need
my
more
God.
space
You need a journal
to
is what you need,
complain. I need
actually,
more
or
space to
diary.
complain. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Fine.
Well, there it
Fine.
is, shakenanddisturbed.com. Check it out when you get a second. Bookmark it, put it on your home screen or whatever, and let
And
us know what
also
you think.
remember, because it can look a little weird, that is a full written out Shaken and
That's right.
Disturbed.
Good
Not
call.
it's not 1D, because sometimes people are like, oh, it looks,
That's right.
it is
Yep.
Shaken and
All
Disturbed.com.
three words fully written out. Thank you.
That's
That's a
right.
good point. Well,
I
let's
don't
get
know why
into
you see
this.
our pictures and not Snoopy and Magic's, but that's an
I know
entirely different.
we definitely need to. Like, we should put them in the about section. Like,
Yeah, we
make
should put
little
their
bios.
headshots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The headshots,
I
exactly.
want to write a little bio for Snoopy. Well, let's put them little
Wait.
bios.
Really quick before we start the show, we're going to get right into it, guys. But Darren was just talking about ChatGPT on last week's NMR episode. We should upload their pictures and make them a headshot. Like, make ChatGPT make it like a headshot.
Easily.
Duh.
I mean,
Hello.
excuse me. What are you saying?
Yeah,
Make them a
Darren's
headshot. What are you
pointing.
talking about? This is
Well,
a
that's
headshot.
true. That's true. She's pointing to Snoopy,
She's
but also
model here. She's
listening.
centerfold. She's mock dull. Anyway,
Model. All right.
model. Let's get into those six
So
Ks.
there it is. Yes, shakenanddisturbed.com. So on this week's episode, let's talk about it. So on November 1st, 1931, we're going a little bit further back than maybe we usually do. Betty Johnson Newmar was born in Ironton, Ohio. Betty's father worked as a coal miner, as so many did in this region, by the way, back in those days, who later moved to Florida, where he took a job on the railroads. Later in 1949, Betty graduated from South Point High School at the age of 18. And in 1950, still only 19 years old, Betty met and quickly married 19-year-old Clarence Malone. This was a little more common, of course, back in those days. People got
Yeah.
married early. They had kids. They went on to live their quote unquote American dream. You don't hear about it as much now, but it definitely still happens. I know several very young people that are getting married these days,
No, I
actually, in
mean
my life.
it certainly occurs, but I think among the general population, it
Yeah.
is happening later and later and later.
Well,
But yeah, of course.
for example, later in
Me.
life. Me, yeah.
Me,
Me, me, me, me. I was
because
like,
I'm
wait,
in my
did I had this moment where I was like,
30s.
wait, she announced that, right? I'm not breaking any news yet. You
Yeah.
kind of look like I was like, oh,
Guys, I
should
have a
I?
dog.
Guys, I have
Yeah.
a dog if you haven't heard. Well, Clarence had moved to Northern Ohio after high school and worked as a mechanic at a used car lot. A local newspaper announced their informal nuptials, which were performed by a minister rather than a priest. The young newlyweds decided to spend their first few months of married life living with Betty's parents. And in December of 1951, Betty, who was pregnant with their first child, filed court papers claiming that Clarence had abused her. So
I
within a
wonder if,
year, they're
and
already
they were
having
already
this stuff.
living with Betty's parents, so I'm curious how this kind of all went down.
Well, so in 1952, Betty gave birth to their first to their son Gary. But then in on November like later on November 27th in 1970 now, so Gary has grown up. Clarence Malone was actually shot in the back of the head outside of his auto shop.
Wow. Okay,
So
so their
this
son
is like the
Gary is
backstory.
18. Yeah,
Exactly.
18 at this point. Betty's however old from when she was born, 9, 39 almost. And her husband was shot in the back of the head. So his
That's right.
death was ruled a homicide. No robbery had occurred, and no perpetrator was identified. Clarence's cousin, Galen Malone, stated that Betty found her husband's body, seemed upset at the funeral, then completely disappeared. Okay.
And before we get into the details, which we'll get into them, people grieve differently. We've talked about it on the show a lot. Where she went or why she went somewhere is up to her, but or up to the person who is grieving, we should say, on a more general note. I just always like to make that caveat because we all kind of grieve and process differently,
Yeah, what's curious to me about that statement actually is that she found her husband's body because it was outside his auto shop. So, like, it's at his
How'd
work.
she get there? Yeah.
He also said he didn't believe she was involved and mentioned rumors Clarence had angered a local motorcycle gang. I cannot talk. I keep wanting to say
Motorcycle.
Sons of Anarchy. Have you ever watched Sons of Anarchy?
No, I haven't.
Oh man, it's about motorcycle gangs
Oh,
in like
okay.
California, but it's very this. But so
Okay.
rumors had kind of spread that he angered a local motorcycle
That is a
gang.
little bit
And
hard to say, so I no worries
I don't know
there.
why it's hard for me today, but life's hard.
Life is hard.
Betty's second husband, James Flynn, so she's remarried at this
I'm
point.
remarried
He
now.
died in 1955. So by the time Clarence had passed away, sorry, this timeline's a little confusing, but by the time Clarence had been shot, she had already been divorced from him for a while. So something to
Right.
kind of keep in mind. She had already
There you go.
remarried to James Flynn, and he had passed away 15 years prior.
Right.
But James had formally adopted Gary by that point, and together Betty and James had a daughter named Peggy. Investigators have confirmed little about James's life or death, while Betty gave confusingly conflicting accounts of what actually happened to him. She initially told investigators that James died on a pier somewhere in New York. That's random. If I
Yeah, I
was married
mean,
to a person, would I have been like, it happened at Pier 57, and this is how it happened? I
but
would have been like, I
again,
don't know, just died somewhere in the Atlantic. I
it's
don't
but
know.
then again, not to be devil's advocate here, but in the 50s in New
I mean,
York City,
maybe.
especially, maybe that is an acceptable thing to say because people probably were not accounted for in the same way that they are
I mean,
today.
okay, but if you're gonna,
But I
okay,
hear
so she
you. I
says
agree.
she died, on a pier somewhere.
Somewhere,
She
yeah.
later also told others that he froze to death inside a truck in New York City. These are just very odd
Yeah.
ways to pass.
Yeah, they
And
are.
while a
Yeah.
death certificate does exist for a James Flynn in New York, no further details are available. And I'm curious that wouldn't the death certificate, though, have how he died?
Maybe it's just this particular one didn't for whatever reason. Yeah.
Well, in 1960, Betty, who kept the last name Flynn, enrolled in a beauty school in Jacksonville, Florida. And in the mid-60s, she married a Navy sailor named Richard Sills. So this
So,
is her third marriage
third
so
marriage.
far.
That's right. That's right. But on April 18th, 1967, Richard's body was discovered on the mobile home that he and Betty in the mobile home that he and Betty had shared in Florida.
Lord, save me.
Betty claimed they had been arguing when Richard pulled out a gun and shot himself. Authorities initially ruled Richard's death a suicide, despite the fact that 11-year-old Peggy had been in the next room and had not overheard the argument or a gunshot. Peggy later recalled seeing Richard lying on the bed snorting, maybe snoring, and then rolling off as paramedics arrived. But in 1968, Betty married another person. So now we're getting, this is all before the 1970 shooting. Betty
Number
married
four.
Army serviceman Harold Gentry in Georgia. Harold was 29.
Harold Gentry. There's like no, there's
Gentry.
like, it has to be in
Yeah.
Georgia too. Harold Gentry in Georgia.
There's something banjo-esque about that name, if you know what I mean.
Totally,
You hear a
totally.
banjo when you hear that name. Anyway, Harold was 29 and Betty was 36. And the following year, they had a daughter named Kelly, who later described them both as, quote, great parents, actually. The family moved frequently due to Harold's military service before eventually settling down in North Carolina in the late 1970s when Harold finally retired after serving 21 years. Al Gentry, Harold's brother, later recalled Harold confiding, quote, never trust that woman, Betty. She isn't who she says she is, end quote. Probably not something you want to be saying about your wife or maybe later his ex-wife, but nonetheless, he's been saying this to family members. And Al recalled Betty telling the family that she had worked as a nurse and a beautician and that her first husband had died of cancer,
But her
which
first husband
seemed.
wasn't dead yet because remember, he got shot in the back of the
That's
head in
right.
1970.
That's right.
So
So
interesting
something weird
there.
is going down here. Yeah. But she had had other people die. So who knows which one she was even talking about? Other husbands, I should say. Betty worked as a worked a series of jobs, including a drugstore clerk, a school bus driver, a waitress. Meanwhile, Harold also drove a delivery truck. And Al said that Betty became distant and moody, especially after drinking. I would say that there's some behavioral issues, maybe some mental issues going on here with her at this point, from what we know, right?
Something's going down. I mean, in a comedic-ish way. Did you ever see Adam Family Values with Joan
Like
Cusack?
the early from the 90s or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I
yeah. Where she
remember
like marries
watching it, but
Fester for his wealth and all of her ex-husbands had died and
okay, kind of. I
he
don't really
killed her
remember the
parents.
plot. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's obviously like a funny-ish movie, but it
Sure.
kind of
Yeah.
reminds me of that, where it's just like husband after husband is dying in these weird ways. Either you're the most unlucky person in the world, or something's going down here. Now, the pair fought often, and by 1986, Harold and Betty's marriage was strained. So they stayed together for quite a bit of time because they got together, you know. Yeah, they've been together for quite some 1968. So they've been
Like
together
20
for quite
plus
some
years,
time.
almost 20 years, yeah.
Considering the last three she'd only been with for like a couple of years,
That's
Harold
right.
was living in a camper in the front yard, and Betty was described as someone who always wanted more, more, more. And on July 14th, 1986, you were just a
I knew you were going to say
wee
that.
7 months
7 months
almost.
old, almost 7 months.
Harold Gentry was found fatally shot inside the couple's home in Norwood. He had been shot multiple times, possibly six, and investigators theorized that Harold had been ambushed and executed. They believe that Harold's attacker may have then staged a burglary to cover up the murder, as there did not appear to be any forced entry into the home. People always forget this, that if they want to like make it a burglary, that like, A, they
You're
kind of
like,
have to
pro
take
tip if you
stuff.
want to do this.
Yeah, pro tip, like don't just like mess up the house, like steal stuff and also pretend that it was like hard to get into.
I mean, at the very least, right, guys? Hello, get on it
Guys,
out
stop being
here.
so
Come
lazy.
on, guys out there doing this stuff.
Well, Dr. Laura Pettler, a forensic criminologist, a very cool job, noted that the ransacking appeared staged. I'm sure it's kind of sort of easy to tell.
I want to say too, you made the point, you just made the little comment about cool job. I
Yeah.
remember talking to criminal forensic criminologists at CrimeCon several years ago and thinking, I want to do
Interesting
this.
people.
I want to leave my job right now, go to school and become this because the science behind it and like the way, like the sociology that is actually scientific behind it and the psychology of how they get to the end of these thoughts. It's truly fascinating. And I know so many of you listening probably know exactly what I'm talking about because true crime fans are always about this type of
Of
stuff. But
course.
I remember speaking to some at Crime Con and being like, I need to get into that. Maybe
That's
I'll do
totally
that. It's never too
fascinating.
late to go back to school.
It really isn't. It really is not. Well, at
Anyway,
the
keep
time of
going.
Harold's death, Betty was in Augusta, Georgia, getting her truck repaired. She returned to North Carolina
Okay.
after police contacted her. And at the time of her estranged husband's death, her
Yeah,
first
she was
husband,
getting, yeah.
Betty was away. Betty was away, sorry, getting her truck fixed.
It was
Now,
just a little
upon hearing,
duplicate there.
yeah, it was just a little. Now, upon hearing the news, she showed no emotion and immediately recited her alibi. Not even
Okay.
being shocked that someone died, but just being like, well, I wasn't there, does seem a little sus. Harold's brother
Yeah.
Al suspected she had hired someone to kill Harold after learning he was seeing another woman.
Well, Al's like, he's suspicious of her anyway. He thinks she's very sus. Don't, because, this Harold man told Al, his brother or whatever, that not to trust her. So he must
Yeah.
have some thoughts there. Yeah, it seems weird to like immediately start mentioning your alibi. I mean, I don't think that would be my first reaction if I were innocent in that regard. So, yeah, I think people noting that is probably very smart.
Agreed.
Well, as you would expect, Betty collected $20,000 in insurance money, sold the house, and received additional military benefits following this death. Now, Harold's family kept the pressure up on investigators to reopen the case for several decades. And in fact, the case finally reopened in January 2008 under Sheriff Rick Burris, who made a point of conducting new interviews and a new forensic review. Now, in May of 2008, just a few months later, Betty was charged with 3 counts of solicitation of first-degree murder. According to prosecutors, Betty had in fact tried to hire multiple people, including her neighbor, who was a former police officer, to kill Harold so that she could collect on his insurance payout. It makes you wonder if she knew about that. Like, did she know he was a former police officer? If so, why would you go over there and say that? Why would you be so dumb?
Unless she thought,
He would know the way to get away
yeah,
with it. Yeah.
like he would know kind of how to do it. That's what I'm thinking. Like, was he sort of a cop turned
Yeah, right. Like
bad? You
how
know,
yeah, le
like could I at first I read at first when you were reading that, I was kind of like, that's a cool that like it would be I could see why she would go to him because he might know how to do it. But then when you were like, why would she go to him? You're an idiot. I'm kind of like, yeah, that's true too. Like, I'm trying to anyway,
No, I
think
hear.
about.
Yeah, it could go either way, really, if to your point. So it's interesting. Well, police held Betty on a $500,000 bond. She was later released on $300,000 bail, and no trial ever occurred. Harold's murder case remains open but inactive. In November of 1985, Betty's son Gary, this is another interesting situation. Her son Gary was found dead in his apartment in Perry Township, Ohio. So there's just so much death following this woman. His death was actually ruled a suicide, and Betty collected $10,000 as his beneficiary. Now, Gary's wife, Cecilia, and his stepson, Jeff, rushed to the scene from Michigan. There, they discovered $16,000 in cash, guns, and ammunition hidden under Gary's bed.
Oh no, did she make his son?
Well, yeah, right. Find him. That'd be terrible. Gary's body was cremated the day after he died, and Betty took the ashes home to North Carolina. A friend later recalled that Gary had been paranoid about banks, considered himself a survivalist, and often binged on drugs and alcohol after talking to Betty, which is like kind of scary to think about in and of itself. Detectives ultimately did, however, rule the death a suicide. So very unnerving and weird there as well.
Definitely seems mother son relate, like
Something like that is
something's
going
going
on.
on here. Well, in 1989, Betty married her fifth husband, John Newmar, and who we mentioned. And in April 2000, Betty and John filed for bankruptcy. They owed over $200,000 across 43
My
credit
God.
cards, with only that's a lot of fucking credit
That
cards, with
is.
only $14,355 in assets. And in October of 2007, John Newmar died in Georgia at age 79. His death was officially listed as sepsis, ischemic colitis, and ileus. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, I don't even know what that some of that is.
John's children were not informed until reading about it in the
Oh
newspaper.
my God,
Betty had
wow.
him cremated, even though they'd already purchased a burial plot. Some that seems.
Well, yeah, and
Listen,
I think,
people change their minds on how they want
yeah.
to be buried, but just in relation to the story, that just sounds so sus. Like I'm gonna
Well, it
burn him to,
exactly. It kind of almost like an evidence disposing of evidence situation, potentially.
Doesn't seem good. Authorities in Augusta, Georgia investigated whether he might have been poisoned with arsenic, as symptoms can mimic sepsis. Now, poison was obviously the first thing I thought of. If the kid's not hearing a gunshot, and
Yeah, right.
on May 30th, 2008, investigators seized John's ashes to test them for arsenic. While no arsenic was found, it's crazy that they can find them in the remains. By the way,
I
isn't that
know, even with
crazy?
ashes, that is crazy. Yes.
So no arsenic was found. The cremains did contain heavy metals, and these levels could not really be quantified, making the results inconclusive. But Georgia police closed the case, stating they found no evidence of foul play, though John's family disagreed. If you have heavy metals in your
Yeah,
cremation, I mean,
what does that
unless you're a
mean?
shovel, I don't really understand how,
What?
I don't get
How
it.
you end up with that? Yeah, I know. Well, heavy metals too, like what exactly are they? How does one get them? Yeah, like I
But I
would want to
guess
know
you
all
can't
that
determine,
stuff.
like, because heavy metals themselves aren't a poison. It's not like arsenic, which is a poison. Like, heavy metals
Right.
themselves, like, they exist. Like, something could have happened. Like, but
And like you
that
said,
just
unless you're
seems
a
odd.
shovel, it just seems sus.
Exactly.
Well, in January of 2008, Al Gentry asked the newly appointed Stanley County Sheriff to reopen Harold's murder case. The new sheriff assigned the case to an investigator with fresh eyes to review the evidence and conduct new interviews. In May of that year, deputies, like we mentioned, arrested Betty in connection with Harold's murder. She was charged with 3 counts of solicitation to commit first-degree murder. The indictment against Betty alleged that she sought out a former police officer, as we've mentioned, potentially for life insurance. Scott Williams, now the lead detective in Betty's case, said someone may have warned authorities about Harold's death, but it was not taken seriously. Now, Betty, who at this point was 76 years old at the time of her arrest, was held on the
Damn.
bond that we mentioned. And though she appealed for a bond reduction, a judge initially had denied her request, citing her as a flight risk and noting the multiple open investigations against her. Now, Betty cooperated calmly during her arrest, which drew major media attention when reporters dubbed her a black widow.
I mean, bitch lived till 7. I mean, like she
One of those
lived
types
long
of
time. Yeah,
situations, yeah.
totally.
Background checks revealed that Betty had actually used over 2 dozen fake identities and possibly had overseas bank accounts in various foreign countries, including Germany. Betty's only formal source of income actually was Social Security, so the fact that she had money like that made it even more sus. Jeff, who we had mentioned earlier, an associate of Betty's essentially, recalled that she once offered to buy him a $100,000 life insurance policy with herself as the beneficiary. He moved in with her 2 years after Gary's death, but left within the year fearing for his own safety, which of course he would. Like, yeah.
If someone's offering you that, I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Just randomly, like we're not talking about like 50 years of marriage and you have children and assets together. Like this is like a little
Yeah,
crazy.
exactly.
Well, in June of 2008, Betty was extradited to North Carolina, where she was formally indicted in July. And in October, as we mentioned, she posted a reduced 300,000 bond and was released. In February that following year of 2009, a BBC crew traveled to the US to film a documentary about Betty.
Oh, interesting.
And on November 3rd, Black Widow Granny aired on BBC
That sounds
One.
about right. That sounds about right.
I
Now, let me
love these
say, I know.
titles.
Listen, when I worked at Oxygen, some of these show episode titles, you wouldn't even believe. There, we actually had a show called Homicide for the Holidays, so you might remember
Yeah.
that. Yeah,
Yes.
very, very just
I
catchy
did a
and
series of
eye-popping.
digital
Yeah, what are you? I know you have some
I did a
stories.
series of digital stuff for Homicide for the Holidays, of like
That's right.
little
I
things that
remember
will
that.
kill you over the
Oh my
holidays.
God. Oh,
Well,
oxygen.
the documentary, albeit great title, Black Widow Granny, included interviews with family and Betty herself, which is really interesting. Betty denied all accusations, commenting, quote, "I cannot control when somebody dies. That's God's work," end quote.
Well,
Now,
sweetie, a lot
that
of
is
people
this
around
stay.
you.
That is a saying of someone who is
Yeah.
definitely not
Yes.
innocent.
Yes. Yes.
She claimed she received no insurance payout from her first or third husbands and only gained
All
a
of
mere
whom
50,
died suspiciously, to be clear.
and only gained a mere $50,000 after Harold's death. Her daughters, Peggy and Kelly, defended their mom, calling her a
Sure.
loving and caring mother. That's probably true. Not sure if she
Yeah,
was like that as a wife, though.
those can all be the same. Yeah, right? Like, you can be a loving and caring mother and also do some really terrible things to other people.
Yeah, two truths can exist.
Potentially.
As of November 2009, no trial date has been set. But on June 8th, 2011, Jeff Carstensen died at age 44, 5 days before his grandmother. That's very early. His cause of death was initially undetermined. But on June 13th, Betty Neumar died in a Louisiana hospital. Her cause of death was later reported as cancer, and she was 79 years old. Stanley County Police reviewed her death certificate but closed the case. And Al Gentry expressed frustration saying, quote, "She took all these secrets to the grave," end quote. And he felt he was robbed
Yeah.
of justice for his brother's murder. And obviously, like, we cannot prove it apparently in court, but it's a very unlikely coincidence that all these people just keep mysteriously dying. That's
It's
all I'm
true.
saying. It seems a little odd.
No. Yeah. And on June 14th, 2011, news outlets reported on Betty's death. The Daily Mail published the headline, quote, "Black Widow Grandmother with a Trail of Five Dead Husbands in Five States Dies Before Facing Trial," end quote. All
Subtle.
simple, yeah, subtle but factual. Tomy Media ran the story, quote, "Secrets of Woman with Five Dead Husbands Die With Her," end quote. And on June 27th, 2011, Cleveland.com asked, quote, "Was she a conniving black widow or just unlucky in love?" End
I
quote.
mean,
That's a good point.
okay.
Let's say she's innocent here. Like, maybe she's just had a really bad
100%,
string of men.
spree, but
Yeah.
you'd think that there would be a little bit of that in her, like remorseful response to these things,
Yeah, you would
like
think, you
her
and
being
hope
like, "I
so.
can't control when people die." Like, it feels a little cold
Yeah.
for
No,
having
I
five dead
completely agree.
husbands. But yeah, I guess you can't really prove that in court. She's passed, so I feel like
Yeah,
we're
especially
talking
because
different
it's been
verdicts.
decades, by the way,
Right.
for a lot of them. Well, Sheriff Rick Burris stated that the case remained open, of course, but is inactive. Florida authorities closed their reexamination of Richard Silas's death due to statutes of limitation. So that one's sort of like done. NCIS dropped their inquiry, and Georgia investigators closed John Newmar's case. By the end of 2012, no active investigations remained into the deaths of any of Betty's five husbands, which, when you think about the families of those people who are continued or still alive or whatever, like, that's a really sad, potentially injustice for them if, in fact, Betty was the person
Totally.
behind all of this. It also reminds me of the Taylor Swift song Betty, which I think is something worth listening to. I want to say
The newly engaged
the
Taylor
newly
Swift.
engaged Taylor Swift, and I don't know if you heard the news, but anyway, so
Like everyone heard the news.
yeah, everyone did. So that's the unfortunate situation behind Betty and all of her husbands, and even it sounds like some
It's
other
either
people.
like the really most unlucky thing in the world, and that's possible, just like absolutely unlucky.
Yeah.
Or something
Or
nefarious.
she was
Yeah,
connected to all that
right, in
stuff.
some
Yeah.
sort of way. So, yeah.
Well, let us know what you think about this week's episode. Had you heard of this case? Do you think Betty is in fact unlucky in love, or is she the Black Widow? Hit us up at Jay Thrasher and Carpe Darren. You can hit us up in our Facebook group, and also check us out on shakenanddisturbed.com.
Yes,
Darren,
please
let's
do.
do some listener shout-outs as we always do at the end of the episode.
Absolutely. Aileen in our Facebook group commented, "I am dead. I just listened to episode 204 where Mommy John was talking about ca helping carry the dead body slash cooler. I screamed so loud, 'No, John, don't do it.' And he
Yeah.
did it anyway. Now mom's DNA is all over someone's igloo coffin. Magic is going to have to move across country to live with Dad Darren Karp when John goes to prison for murder. And that, my friends, is why I planned this happening to John years
Oh, it
ago,
was you.
because I
You
want
wanted
Fat
this.
Daddy Magic to come live with me and Snoopy.
You wanted
Good
magic that
call,
wasn't
Eileen.
even born or neither were his parents yet. But that's fine. I see what you're doing there.
You didn't have the wherewithal or the thought process to see this through. My ultimate ruse fucking worked, bro. It
Okay, good to
worked.
know.
But when
Fucking
you are
worked, bro.
arrested for an igloo coffin, which I really appreciate, I'm gonna be like, hey guys, yeah, he
Yeah, you
definitely
can
did
have magic. And I did it. And
that.
you
And
took
here's the
magic.
recording, and here's the episode, and here is the
Oh my
voice
God.
clipped
Well, that's
out of him
true. I do
saying.
have it all on record, so I guess I should be worried now. Well, thank you, Aline. I will take your advice next time, at least. Marashea or Marashay, I hope I'm saying your name right, on Facebook commented about our new website, actually, Darren, shakenanddisturbed.com, and said, so I'm really excited to see this. I binged all of Martinis and Murder, our previous
Wow.
podcast, through the summer, which is crazy, by the way. There's like 218 episodes there, and started Shaken and Disturbed at the end of July. I just looked at the merch site on Monday and only saw five shirt options. They are awesome, but I'm glad to see new things. I'm on episode 83 right now, and I'm excited to catch up. By the way, I found you guys because of Mugglecast and Millennial, my first podcast. I found them in 2021, but went all the way back. And totally caught up on those two.
Wow.
She's referencing my great friend Andrew and Laura and Pamela, who run Millennial and Mugglecast, which is the longest running Harry Potter podcast that I had appeared on a couple of times, as they are my friends. So shout out to those guys. You can check them in their show notes as well. And thank you, Marishea. I love to hear that people found us through those appearances because I'm like, does anyone care about me on this other little podcast? Well, big podcast, I should say. And to hear that you came over and stuck with it and binged the entire, what is that, almost 400 episodes in just a couple of months? Oh my God. You must be sick of our voices. You have to be, at least mine. Maybe not Darren's, but at least mine.
No,
But
never
thank you so
mind.
much.
I mean, awesome that you have actually caught up. And this makes me think about merch ideas. And I'm wondering if there's any sayings that you guys love
Yeah, tell
that we do on this
us.
podcast. Please tell us, because we'd really love to make it. And
Yeah.
we're always looking for new ideas. And we're going to come out with some new merch options for sure. But it's just kind of nice to pool the audience and see what you guys think
Yes.
about some stuff.
I want to say a lot of our design, not all of them, but most of our designs are very kind of like true crime evergreen stuff so that you guys don't have to have listened to the show or know what we're talking about to like
Right.
wear the t-shirt or put it on a mug. But we will be doing some very like show specific stuff in the next couple of months leading into the holidays, homicide for the holidays. So be on the lookout for that. But yes, if you guys, like Darren said, if you guys have thoughts or suggestions, let us know. We'll slap it on a logo and put it on.
Again, join us on Patreon, guys. Patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed. Head to our brand new beautiful website where that said merch is listed at shakenanddisturbed.com for all new episodes. Patreon, YouTube merch, including our latest design, which says "Justice is my love language,"
And by the
which.
way, it's selling really well. I have to say thank you guys to those of you who've already went and purchased that stuff. I get an email alert on our official website or our official email whenever we get purchases. And I was like, okay, people are liking this one. So thanks for supporting the show that way.
By the way, we didn't really talk about Menendez and all that stuff happening, but we should when
We
all is
should
said and done
eventually.
about, we'll
Yeah.
do like a moratorium on
Good
that.
call.
But I think that we should create a merch shirt that just said that joke that I said about you when you were like, I have friends, and then just stop talking for a
And then I
second.
was like, yeah, and then I just
And I was
stopped.
like, that's
That's it. That's the end of the
it.
conversation. I have friends. No, I don't. It's fine.
Yeah,
Coming to a t-shirt near you, I have friends.
exactly. Well, guys, that's it. For
Yep,
Shaken
that's
and
it.
Disturbed.
All right, take care, brush your hair, and visit shakenanddisturbed.com.
And for the love of God, stop wearing fucking nothing on
Yeah, that's
planes
a good
and wear
one.
shoes. Please be neat. Wipe the seat. Be fucking courteous. You know, sidewalks meant for two directions, people. Just like be, it's
Oh
just
boy.
common courtesy. It's common
Oh
courtesy.
boy. All right. We're
All
getting to
right.
that age where everything
Yeah.
bothers us.
Here
We'll
we
see
go.
you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.